one of the things that I hear from a lot of people, they use the term libertarian, and for a lot of people, I think they have a grasp on what it means. For a lot of people, it means either simplicity or small government or stay, you know, I'll do my thing, you do your thing. But if you're going to the door, you're knocking to somebody and you're introducing yourself, not only are you the leader of the party, but how do you describe the party and the ideologies that your party believes?
Well, first off, hi, my name is Mark Snow. I'm your libertarian candidate. No, I don't like the liberals. That's the first thing, and we've had many discussions on to change the name. The first thing I think is that I'm a liberal, and because libertarian is all they hear is the first three letters. We are a less government party that believes in individual freedoms, personal responsibility, and getting the government as much out of our lives as possible within the confines of our constitution and charter. We developed our own Charter of Rights and Freedoms. It's on the website. It's modeled exactly after Quebec's with Ontario's interests in mind. So we believe that Ontario is a sovereign state within the Union of Canada, and we intend to maximize the use of that autonomy to be able to create a better Ontario.
In your door knocking, what are some of the issues that you've been hearing from residents? Obviously, because you're the leader of a party, you have a bigger footprint than a riding candidate would typically have. Are they the same issues spread across the province, Mark?
The biggest issues was housing, affordable housing. Secondary to that was taxation at the same time, and food inflation. Those are the biggest things that people talked about, and what is our plans to fix that?
Whether it's good or bad was probably up to the individual, but you are in a fight against big parties that have big dollars and a lot of support. When you go into a race like this, my assumption is you go in it to win it, but it seems like it's an uphill climb for a smaller party. How do you get past that, or is it something where you look at incremental growth election over election?
Well, since 1973, we've been doing this, and in 2018, we ran 118 candidates, but no one would pick that up as a phenomenal feat. I had 90 candidates ready to go, but after the Freedom Convoy, the idea of liberty, I ended up only being able to run 22 because the 90 that I had ready to go for 2022 backed out because they were afraid. How do we compete against them? We're a small party. We're self-funded. We're dedicated. We're honest. We believe in what we are doing. And when you believe in something, you just keep going. And I mean, the core group of volunteers that have been there for years and years and years, and new people that are coming on all the time, have a real concern about the direction in which Ontario is going. The biggest challenge, though, is I'll tell you, even if I had $10 million tomorrow to throw at the 2026 election, I would have a very difficult time getting airspace, getting airtime. It's a real challenge to get national or, you know, provincial airtime for us to even get a voice if we had millions of dollars to buy that slot, because we tried and we couldn't. So the second challenge to that is I'm trying to get into the Chamber of Commerce debate on the 11th, and I'm trying to get into the Cogeco debate on the 13th. This is my fifth election that I run in, and I run for the federal party as well. So the challenge is to get to the actual events that are set up in the private venues that they can restrict who is able to exercise democracy. And that's been my personal experience in the Ottawa region, and even in Hamilton Center. We weren't allowed to even come to the building that they were holding the debates in for the candidates. That's the one challenge. The second thing is getting people hear the message for the 34 to 42% of people that don't vote. those are the people we're trying to capture. It's very, you're not going to capture a true hardcore liberal NDP conservative. They are bent in their desire to do their party loyalty thing. So what we need to do is focus on getting the rest of the people that have given up. That's what we need to do. And through social media, that's the best way that we can do that.
For this area, housing has been the number one issue. The opioid epidemic and homelessness. The complexity of something like mental health struggles that go along with an addiction, that go along with an affordability crisis. These issues aren't, you know, there's nuance and complexity and subtlety to them. How are issues so large even going to be tackled, and how do you feel a provincial government representative, what their role is in something that's starting to look like a global pandemic?
I don't watch news, so in that sense, I don't know what you're talking about in global pandemic. But the simple fact of the matter, we've been saying it all along, the centralized approach of the Ministry of Health, when Doug Ford took office, there was a $64 billion budget. Today, it's $74 billion. It was bad, but better. Today, it's worse and $10 billion more and 50% less outcomes. There's one way and only one way to fix it. That is to go back to the LHINs model, the 14 regions within the province, attach the funding to each and every individual in the province, i.e. if you and your wife and two kids, then that's four people, that's roughly $4,800 per person. And then those people have control of that funding to be able to send all of that funding to their local LHINs network. So in other words, the local health integration network. All of that funding stays within each LHINs. And if you look at the numbers and look at data, because that's what I do. I do demographics and I do budgets, I'm very good at finding that stuff. And the LHINs network, I'll just use my place. They got $2.3 billion before Doug Ford hit everything to operate their budget. The Champlain network here in the Ottawa region submitted $6.3 billion worth of needs, and they got $2.38 billion. And why is that? It's because almost 49% of all the funds in regards to the Ministry of Health budget, it pays for the five layers of bureaucracy above your local networks. We need to get rid of the centralized approach of the Ministry of Health, go back to regional health integration networks, tag the funding to the individual, all that funding stays within the LHINs, which will almost double the amount of available money for each region. And then to make it fair so that the people are representative, is that we will hold elections within the LHINs to elect the governing body of the LHINs. Further to that, we will hold elections for the hospitals so that the people that work in the hospitals in those communities can pick the best people to run their hospitals and their boards in their hospitals. Two things that happens when you do that. One, you no longer have appointees that won't talk about anything like they are everywhere. So they won't complain about the lack of funding or the lack of services for mental health or drug addiction. Two, no politician will ever be able to promise to fix healthcare because it's all a regional issue. Decentralizing the Ministry of Health, tax the funding to the individual, empower each regional LHINs to do 100% complete building, 100% complete service delivery with approximately 49% more funds. That's how you fix it.
So did you say
talking about it, they're not going to fix it until we do this. We get the Ministry of Health bureaucracy out of the way and we attach the funding to each and every person, and that stays within that region. That's value-added tax. Taxation. As much as I hate that word, that's how you fix it.
Did you say 49% or 49 cents on the dollar isn't actually healthcare money? It's funds that go towards the bureaucracy or the administration of healthcare. Is that correct?
Yes, it's. I can't get the numbers for the last 4 years because Ford changed what used to be a very wonderful model under Kathleen Wynne and Delta McGuinty. Each lens created a business plan. That business plan had a listing of all the fundings, and then the government funded, and you could see what they asked for. And, but Ford eliminated all that. You can't find that, even though the structure is still there. The accountability in regards to the business planning that each lens used to do and the funding that the government would give it. I can use my latest one that I have here for the Champlain Network here in Ottawa. It's 49.2% of each person's funding is issued to run the needs based on the business planning. There's no more business planning anymore. There's none of this demographics by healthcare needs that used to be available and used to be accountable, and you'd be able to actually see where the money was going. You can't see that anymore, and it's very difficult to find it. So yeah, it was 49%. So if you have, say, $5,000 assigned to each person and less than $2,500, and you wonder why there's so many wings in the hospital, in Trenton General Hospital or Belleville General Hospital, that are not open, are zero staff, no wings that are completely devoid of people and staffing. It's because each LHINs is governed to only set up staffing and services for which they are budgeted for, because there isn't enough money to open all the rest of those wings. Just take a look around at your hospitals. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. I've been fighting this for years. I did a 2.5-hour debate in 2018, the Ottawa Healthcare Coalition debate against Joel Harder. The Communist Party, the Conservatives didn't show up, and the Liberal Party and the None of the Above Party. That's a YouTube video, 2018 Healthcare Coalition, where you see where I detail exactly what I just laid out for you. Like, I mean, just, I don't know how long we got, but I mean, just here's what we could have did then and we still could do now if we have attached the funding to the person and fund the LHINs with that funding. In Ottawa, we would have got an extra $2.3 billion. And I suspect it would have been the same in the Quinte LHINs area. With an extra $2.3 billion, we could have hired 100 doctors, paid for their education. We could have hired 100 RNs or 500 RNs and RPNs for this region. Just think of this region. We could have hired 1,000 PSWs. We could have given every senior paying for private care $1,000 a month in this region. And we could have bought 10 MRIs and 10 CAT scanners machines out of that $2.3 billion each year, funding over funding at $64 billion, and still have almost $900 million left over. That's the waste that's going on in regards to the bureaucracy, which siphons off 49% of the budget. Ford's made it no better. And the really scandalous part of all this is I can talk about this, but it takes, you know, 6 weeks to train a PSW. It takes 2 years to train an RPN. It takes 4 years to train an RN. It takes 8 years to train a doctor. But in reality, if we have decentralized approach and each LHINs controls that, they could actually use that extra funding for mental health, for drug addiction, to be able to hire as many nurses and doctors as we can. We talk about solutions. It's not a libertarian solution, but it's a solution that will remove the ability of any politician, including myself, to be able to make promises to change it. When it's a council-led LHINs board, not a political appointee board that won't say a word, and a council-led local hospital board, then we actually get outcomes based on community needs, based on those that actually want to make a difference. Alex Munter, head of CHEO here in Ottawa, a BA in political, or he has a BA and he makes $386,000 a year. Why? Why don't we have a doctor, a neurologist, someone that's a pediatrician running our hospitals, not political appointees? And that's what you really need to look at as where we are failing. That's the whole system failure.
And I guess last question before we finish off, it was the other issue that I've heard from Steve Ferguson, the mayor of Prince Edward County, Jim Harrison of Quinte West, and Neil Ellis of Belleville, is the system in which infrastructure is funded and the level in which municipalities are stuck trying to deal with a $60 or $70 million wastewater treatment plant or a $30 million highway that goes into Picton. They're just projects that they have no means of funds to pay for because of the way in 1995 to 2000 when they were downloaded from the provincial government down to the municipalities. What is the province's role in supporting the infrastructure so that builders can go in and build the houses and the roads can get repaired to help with tourism? What is the approach of the Libertarian Party as far as provincial jurisdiction and infrastructure projects?
That's a big thing to unwrap, but let's start first with housing. Government is not the solution to fixing the housing crisis. Our plan simply is this. We are going to reinstitute the land patent grant system and start issuing parcels of Crown land to up to 1 million people in the province of Ontario. Of course, that depends on becoming a provincially majority government. The reissuance of land grants, land patent grants, comes with a couple of considerations. The Ontario Building Code will not apply. You have 2 years to occupy it. That means a tiny home, a yurt, a tent, an RV. I don't care if it's a mud brick house that you want to live in. An approved septic system. Johnny on the spot, outhouse, an approved septic field that you'll be able to put in. And retain that property for 5 years. We haven't determined if it's going to be 5 years or longer. And then at the end of that 5 years, if you have a suitable dwelling, and at the end of 5 years, you now own title and deed to that property. That's how we increase wealth. Now, the government doesn't need to get involved except for to pay approximately $2,300 to $4,000 for a survey. And then from that, we can take the kids that are paying $2,000 a month for a one-bedroom apartment, and they can buy an RV, a tiny home, or whatever it is, and put it on that property and stop paying rent. That's how we solve the housing crisis. It's not by government. And you talk to any one of those mayors, and I'll tell you the biggest hindrance of any municipality that they have right now is the provincial government getting in the way of land development. End of story. That's the problem. So our solution to that is we are going to decentralize the Queen's Park's power and empower each and every MPP to make all the approvals for both environment, housing, roads, infrastructure, anything that short of provincial regulations like the environment. Air, water, and land pollutions are the key things that will be retained by the government. Everything else will be empowered by the local MPs. Now, can you imagine in the three or four ridings that surround the Bay of Quinte provincially, if we have a Green Party, an NDP party, and a Conservative or a Libertarian candidate, well, they have to then be forced to work together to find solutions, not go to Doug Ford and have his buddies or Kathleen Wynne and her buddies or the Green Party or the Liberal problem, the Liberal Party. Only if we decentralize and only if we empower MPs can we actually have voter representation with actionable items with the authority to do so. Secondary to that is that by instituting the land patent grants, like I said, the only cost that we will have is the cost of the survey. How they develop their property, they have to occupy it within 2 years, will generate more income for people building, and not a single government dollar will be involved in that. That's how we save money. That's how we empower and enrich our youth. And I'm saying youth, we got 40-year-old people that can't afford a home right now because of the excessive taxation. That's what we need to do. Land patent grants, that's what made our great-grandparents rich and having wealth, and that's what will make our new generation of children rich and empowering them with access to private property, the ability to live rent-free as they choose and deem fit. I have all these policies if you want them. And that will enrich our youth and allow them to actually make better financial decisions because they won't be bound by so much rent.
Mark Snow, leader of the Libertarian Party of Ontario and Bay of Quinte by-election candidate. We appreciate your time here with Quinte News.
Thank you, Tim, and thank you for the opportunity to speak. I certainly appreciate it.